Joe presents Baz and Andrew's House of Rugby, together with Guinness.
Okay, it's Guinness Six Nations week, and what a better way to start than Ireland and England in the Aviva on Saturday afternoon. And what two better men to talk about it than former England and Ireland captains Lawrence Dallaglio and Brian O'Driscoll. Thank you for joining us, lads.
Thanks, Joe.
Lawrence, you're over pretty early in Dublin for Six Nations week. It's a pretty wild time over here, Six Nations week. Will you manage to last the week?
Well, I hope so. I mean, I'm just warming up nice and early, arriving here on a Monday. But no, we're here to launch the global Guinness Drink Responsibly campaign here on Monday, which is the right time. Got a fantastic weekend of rugby to look forward to. So it's all about pacing yourself, and that probably fits in with the campaign very nicely, you know.
Yeah, and the Irish versus England legends are on Friday night in the RDS. Are either of you taking part in that?
Unfortunately, I am not able to. I had a prior and not getting the treatment, not getting the physio. So painting a pretty good picture of the Legends game.
Oh, no, I think same.
I played in it for 2 years after I retired. Never again.
Never again.
I mean, the head still wants to do things that the body doesn't really want to follow, you know?
It's players that still think that they're capable of doing it that are unconditioned. Yeah. And you're just a little bit later out of a tackle or into a tackle, and that's how injuries happen. Yeah.
And there's a few there that you want to avoid. There's definitely someone who's going to be still wanting to throw digs and start fights.
Well, I remember watching Josh Lucy here about four seasons ago, and he scored like six tries. It was like he was still professional up there,
everyone
else was like hanging.
Correct.
So there's just a big discrepancy between those who've just retired and then the Shane Burns and the Jason Leonards and that crew.
I played in the Matt Hampson one over in Leicester a few years ago, and it was all very casual. We're all going to have the crack, and Martin Curry hit Trevor Brennan a dig in the opening minute and bust his nose open. And then Trevor Brennan was like, "It's a fucking war, it's a war." And I was like, "Man, will you relax?"
but he was on your team. There was an upside to that. I remember training with Trevor Brennan in 99, and him, Gary Halpin, Henry Hurley threw a dig at him, and Trevor finished him. I just remember thinking, I don't ever want to be on the side that he's not on. That's frightening for a 20-year-old's sake, but thankfully the game has come a long way from that.
O'Driscoll loop, that we all had the same calls. Remember that when we all had the same calls?
It's like a Brumbies call, was it?
It was a Hendo, I think.
Hendo, the switch.
The switch.
The slice.
I remember it very well.
He had the same one as well, Hendo.
Well, we picked it up quite quickly.
Yeah, and I went to smash you, and you just did this little loop, and I think Darius got the ball off and you just stuck your elbow up at the last second and cracked me in the face and ran on, and you fractured my jaw. And
that's the sending off that's straight right back. Good, sorry about that. I apologise. 20 years.
The good news is he's over it. He's forgotten about it.
Well, I was recording a song recently, and I was trying to sing, and the producer was like, "I can hear this weird clicking on the vocals."
I thought you were going to say I was going to get into a lyric of hate.
You might.
Which would be great too.
You might,
I'm open to.
He was like, "Yeah, what's the clicking?" I was there. He was Welsh producer, huge rugby fan, and I told him the story, and he thought it was the best thing
was
ever.
Like full bars?
No, I didn't even get surgery yet, so I still can't. Hit me again after if you want. Anyway, we'll move on. We'll get to this. We'll talk about the rugby. So, Ireland versus England in the opener for both teams in the competition. As two former captains, before I got into tactics, I wanted to talk to you about the mentality going into a game like this. And Brian, you first with Ireland, going in as arguably the team that everyone wants to beat in the world, having won the last 12 games at home, what kind of mentality would you be if you were a captain still, like, given players?
Obviously, there's no need to motivate players because they're a highly motivated team through the success they've had over the course of the last 18 months. I think I would look at it as a need to continually to improve. I think where teams think they're the finished article or they're content with, you know, performances that have gone on before, it's when they become stagnant and they can be picked off. Whereas I think if they can look on improving on their best, most recent performance against the All Blacks, irrespective of the opposition that they come up against, if they play to that standard, I think they'll be a very difficult team to beat. So I think it's very much a focus on yourself. As much as you pay due respect to the opposition and what they're going to throw at you, if you really focus on yourselves and implementing that as best you can, both in attack and defence, I think, you know, then you it's a mentality shift from other Irish teams where, you know, we'll be very, very difficult to beat if we play our best.
Okay, yeah. And then with England going into it, coming over here with Ireland being, you know, favourites, I suppose, at this point, which is has been unusual in the past. What kind of direction would you give the players?
Well, I mean, Ireland are justifiably favourites. You know, they've beaten England three of the last four. They've handed them, other than Saracens, they've handed them a beating, you know, club level all over the shop, really. So I think for me, it's about belief. You know, if you're going to go away, particularly in the Six Nations, you have to believe that you can win. And I think for this England team, they've got to take... You know, when Eddie Jones first took over, they had 18 unbeaten matches. You know, that's the joint world record with New Zealand. And I think people forget that, you know. Yeah. I forget it. A lot of England fans, a lot of the players have forgotten it. If you take the very best of how they played on that run and forget about the seven games that they lost subsequently, you know, they picked up a little bit in the autumn. But what England need to do is put together all their best bits, and they've got to do it against one of the best sides in the world, undoubtedly, you know, in Ireland. And... you know, we all lose games of rugby, you know. It doesn't matter who you play for. At some stage in your career, you lose. But losing to the same team too many times, you know, sort of starts to eat away at you a little bit. And England are in that position with Ireland. They've lost three out of the last four. And, you know, that doesn't want to become too much of a habit. So I think it's about belief for me. I wouldn't say there's no excuses, but there's always been a few, you know, issues with England. There's this player's missing, that player's missing. You know, that's not the case this time around. They're fully loaded.
Full deck, yeah.
You know, they've got a strong squad to pick from. And they've got players who are used to winning as well. And I think that's key to this. So if they can execute and they know they've got to be at their very best against a really, really good side, then... And also that opening game is always a bit tricky for both teams. You know, the last time we all played together was in the autumn. And you can be a bit rusty sometimes, and no one quite knows how you're going to come out of the blocks. And that'll be the same for Ireland, same for England. They'll want to come out and settle quickly. So anything can happen in those opening games.
Yeah. Would you be using this man's words against him, where he said maybe one in the English team would get on the Irish team? Is that what you said last week? Funapolo? Would you be using that in the dressing room?
Let's phrase that. Who would you want to pick from the English team and put it into the Irish team? And I did struggle with it, and I only retrospectively realised Billy Vunipola. But I went through the back line, and I went through the pack. Maratoji, maybe, but I like Devon Toner as a line-out option now for us. None of the front row, none of our back row, definitely not. Halfbacks, no, centre, no. So I went through the whole team, and to be honest with you, yes, Billy Vunipola would, any team in the world, I think, would be happy to have him.
Yeah.
But beyond that, I, you know, without that, it has the potential to sound a little bit arrogant and a bit cocky.
But I don't think it does.
But genuinely, I would not, because I think that man for man at the moment, Ireland are playing better rugby.
Yeah, I was just thinking of the old school. Using that in the dressing room against the team, does that still go on, you reckon, these days?
Well, I mean, I think they've got their own reasons to be motivated, haven't they? And, you know, they've been beaten comfortably on several occasions. So you know, it's hard to put an argument up until you win a game against the same opposition. It's hard to put an argument in there. You know, there's a few of them that force their way into the Lions team. So there's definitely a few of them that are, you know, are good enough to play at that level. But they have to win to be able to have those bragging rights. And
just when you said a minute ago about England winning 18 games in a row, and this being a World Cup year, when you go back to your World Cup winning year in 2003, I think you'd lost two games in 2 years up until that point. Do you see any similarities between, and I don't want to exclude England totally on this, but with Ireland and how they're playing at the moment and how ye were at that, how much he'd built the squad back then and experience?
I think you're right. I think the similarities are that we were a very settled team. If everyone's fit, you can come, the team picks itself. I'm sure there'd be a few people that maybe that feel that so-and-so should be ahead of so-and-so, but more or less it's quite a settled team. In 2003, I think we had the same, Ireland have the same, you know, I mean... You can lay out the fit, and it's more around the layer beneath. You know, who's going to fill the spaces on the bench, who's going to come off. So I think it's a very settled side. we hadn't won a Grand Slam. We lost a few of them. So it was important for us in 2003 to actually win one and then take that into the World Cup tournament itself. This is a different Ireland team. You know, they've won the Grand Slam. They've beaten the All Blacks. So I think it's about keeping that momentum going. And, you know, I know it's a bit corny to say it, but winning is a habit. But you don't want to be losing too many games either, particularly in this year. I mean, you might lose the odd one. That happens when you come up against a good side, but you wouldn't want to be losing more than that.
Yeah, I think settled is a good point. And I heard you talk about this last week as well, where Ireland, over the last couple of years, have definitely been developing. When you look back at games in the Six Nations against England and Wales, maybe the last few years, there was definitely a few combinations they were trying out. Whereas now, when Ireland go into a game, they've got so many options, it's almost hard to pick the team.
Yeah, it is, and that's a good place to be. And it's a seamless transition of people being able to fit in where an opportunity pops up, be it through injury or lack of form or just a different try combination. So I still expect there to be a bit of experimentation of different units to be played. You won't see the same 23 being played over the course of the five games. I think you'll still see, you know, guys like Chris Farrell that will get a game if he's going to be going to the World Cup later in the year. I think you'll get a great sense as to who's part of the World Cup plans, because I'd be quietly confident that Joe Schmidt knows his 30 or 31 players, maybe one being able to eke their way into the squad. But, you know, you need more than 23 if you're going to win a World Cup. You're not going to play the same 23 for seven games on the bounce. So you've got to have them getting game time. You've got to give them experience. And you know, matches at high intensity, and that's what Six Nations, you know, Guinness Six Nations is all about, is we're the envy of the world with the quality of the competition we have. So it's a great lead into any World Cup.
Yeah, I think with those two squads going out on Saturday, I think we're in for a mouth-watering encounter. Now, rumour has it that you were always a man for having a pint of water on a night out, and talk to me about what's going on here exactly.
Yeah, this is, we're obviously, as Lauren said, we're launching Guinness Clear, which is a drinking smart, safely initiative by Guinness. Again, we're trying to get rid of the taboo of, you know, it's not cool to drink a pint of water when you're out and about. It's just trying to moderate what you're doing. So, you know, it's, we come from a bit of an alpha male game where, perhaps in the past there was a drinking culture, but these days there's very much, you know, it's every person for themselves, and look after yourself and drink at your own speed and don't have to conform to what the expectation is.
I was on a flight to New York with a few of the Munster lads there about a month ago, and Ron O'Gara came halfway down the plane to me and he stopped and he said, "Baz, we need to tactically think about how we're going to treat our night out. I think we need to have a pint of water every 3 pints because we're both lightweights."
Was he asking you how the rock stars are doing in first class?
it worked, to be fair to
him.
It's
a really bad sign if he's compartmentalizing himself with yourself. It means that you're at a...
We're as bad as each other.
We're as bad as each other. But no, I think it's a brilliant initiative where, you know, it's just being smarter, and we're of an age now that it's okay to say it, and it's okay to talk about it, and it's okay to do it.
Yeah. Well, fair play, lads, and thanks a million for joining us. Pleasure. And enjoy the game at the weekend.
Cool.
Welcome to the House of Rugby, featuring Andrew and not Baz, but crucially featuring three rock stars in the shape of Simon Zebo, Maggie Alfonsi, and Jenny Murphy. So yesterday, Baz got the opportunity to interview O'Driscoll and Delalio. They seem like big names, but not by comparison. Am I right?
Championship, Premiership.
Yes, Jenny. Yes, you're talking my language now. Zeeb, first of all, how are you getting on? You're obviously tearing it up in France, but are you selling in well, speaking the language?
Yes, I'm well set.
You are in Paris, sorry, it's just by your Instagram stories, it's hard to tell. it is Paris, you're
right? Yeah, it's Paris, yeah.
Champs-Élysées, Eiffel Tower, Occupy, you know,
that's it.
Day in, day out.
I live around
okay,
that area.
You've moved away from Cork.
Give me a break, man, come on. Yeah, I'm living in Paris. It's a very cool city. Well settled in, my kids are in school, Mrs. is loving the city and working away, so the rugby's been going good too, so yeah, just trying to adapt and learn the new culture, the new ways of the team. And it's only been 6-7 months now, so it's been a good start so far.
Is it a culture where this is acceptable?
Definitely.
Previously, yeah. Questionable.
Yeah, before wouldn't have been encouraged. Yeah. But in Paris, it's very much you have fun, express yourself. There's no shackles. There's no you shouldn't be doing this, you shouldn't be doing that. So it's it suits me down to the ground. It's a lot of fun, and you can probably see I'm enjoying myself too. So it's good.
You're loving it. Yeah. And you're doing your talking on the pitch as well, Zeebs.
So thanks, my man.
Tearing it up.
Thanks,
Bob. Jenny, you last time we saw you. You might have been in a soft cast, or you're certainly not back playing yet. You're not back playing yet, but you're very close now, is that right?
Yeah, pretty close. Whoa, that is loud.
Yeah. Enthusiastic, but pretty close.
I'm about like 6 weeks away, hopefully, from running, and I got a little pin out of my leg this morning. So
this
morning, yeah.
You love being on podcast. You love it.
It's commitment.
Yeah, it's just, the chance to talk to Trimby, like I was like, I can't miss that. Like,
I can imagine.
Yeah. Give me local. I don't need general anaesthetic. This is So it's gonna get me through the weekend.
Yeah, I thought actually there might have been so we saw you, I know, start of November, and we were thinking you're gonna be nearly playing back, like a redemption kind of, here goes Jenny. And then I saw an Instagram of you in like hospital scrubs. I was going, you've ruined the narrative, but you're grand. So
It was only a little wee thing, but like, yeah, it does build the tension up even more. So there's a crescendo coming.
Yes.
Fingers crossed.
Gotcha. And Maggie, so welcome.
Yeah, thanks. It's good to be here. It's good to be on the sofa.
Did you feel welcome?
I do feel welcomed. You know, I got off the plane and then I got the taxi, got here, and I met some fantastic people who just sort of made me feel like I should be here. But I just don't understand your banter. All your banters are so out of... our banter in England is pretty dry, so I'm catching up to what you guys,
chat about. Yeah, I did a thing for the English House of Rugby with Tyndall and Alex. And one of the stories Tyndall told was about how back in the run-up to 2003 World Cup, he told a story about how they were on a night out and he walked into a bar and Martin Johnson was there. And then Johnson goes, "Oh mate, do you want me to straighten your nose?" And before he replied, he'd knocked him out. And he was lying on the bed, and I thought, is that English banter?
That is kind of spot on, if I'm honest.
Cuba. It doesn't surprise me.
That's hilarious to me. I think that's absolutely hilarious. But yeah, our banter is quite dry.
And in the face.
In the face, yeah.
Yeah.
Straighten your nose.
Yeah. Kind of stuff. I've bumped into you doing the rounds a few times now.
Yeah.
We're both in the afterlife and like two corpses walking around. Just I saw you doing our day jobs. Yeah, up in Belfast.
That's correct, doing some work. Yeah, I work for a health insurance company, so doing some stuff around trying to get people healthy and active.
Yeah,
so we bumped into each other and are you missing playing?
No, it's fine. do you miss it?
No, I don't, no. I have to admit, I absolutely miss the big moments. I was chatting before to Jenny and we were just saying, I just miss you miss sort of those moments where you kind of go, everything is at stake, you know, playing against Ireland, France, whatever it may be, and you kind of look forward to those big occasions. Don't have that anymore, so I'd sort of miss that environment.
Yeah, I miss it's the small things I miss, it's the crack. It's the coffees between gym sessions. It's the slagging in the changing room, stuff like that. You can't do any of that in an all-over
Not in the business
place. No, you can't pull people's pants down. But you can.
Yeah.
You'll not be working there for very long. It's that stuff I miss. And then I did a bit of co-coms at the start of the season.
Yeah.
And it was one of the Ulster games. It was kind of nip and tuck, and it was a bit of a climax. I think John Cooney got a kick at the last second of the game to win the game, and everybody was buzzing. And on the way home from the game, I did have a wee moment. So I was like, it'd be nice to be playing.
You do, don't you?
It'd be nice to be in the change room.
But I wonder, did you pull Simon's pants down?
Simon was the one pulling pants down. Left, right and centre.
Yeah.
Just hear him coming up from behind you.
Yeah, I have a few scalps actually, yeah. Never got to Joe, no, unfortunately.
Never pulled Joe's pants down?
No. Didn't quite make it that far.
Because going on a selection, I assume that you had done something like that at times.
Or worse.
He said at a press conference, he's like, Simon Zeebo's unavailable this weekend because he pulled my pants down.
That wouldn't surprise me, to be honest.
But anyway, so big week. England the weekend, we're straight into the deep end. Has anybody got any standout kind of Six Nations memories or England memories in particular that you look back and think that was a good day or that was a bad day? Zeebs?
Good day was probably a couple of years back when they were coming over here to try and claim the Grand Slam, and that was an unbelievable atmosphere, and we ended up putting 10 or 20 on them, which was great. Sorry, Mike.
That's all right.
Sorry, Mike.
Yeah. But it was, yeah, it was great. It was probably my only good memory against England, to be honest. I've been on the losing end a few times. One of my earliest memories was my second or third cap for Ireland, or Six Nations cap anyway, and broke my foot after 10 minutes and had to come off. So, mixed bag against England.
Zeebs, you maybe get your feet out, but they look like feet that have been broken a few times.
Yeah, okay. Thank you, Andrew.
I mean, I've had two operations on my feet as well. Yeah. So, listen, I know. Yeah, I understand, you know, like what it's like to have manky feet.
Yeah, mine are bad. Yeah, mine are bad. I got claws. I have proper claws. Yeah.
And a few bunions sticking out as well.
Yeah, 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 yeah. Well, I'd rather have ugly feet than an ugly face. You know?
Oh, yeah.
Not you.
Oh, you went there. Wow.
Oh, what did you like?
That's bitchy, Zee. Wow.
That's like their punch in the face.
I know. It's, yeah. It's good. It's good.
Yeah, that's all right.
Yeah. That's the equivalent. Yeah. Did you be up to speed there? Did you like that?
I'm now getting it now. I'm on it. Yeah.
You're getting more and more Irish as it goes along.
Yeah. Do you know what, though? When you talk about rugby feet, I have to explain it to people who don't play sport at a high level. You go, your feet get absolutely just not pretty. You know, you wouldn't want to suck someone's toes, you know? It's that kind of thing. It's just...
Yeah, this is the first time I've ever had all my toenails the correct colour.
Okay.
Because I haven't played with me in 6 months, so I grew back, and it's one of the things about retirement. You know, obviously you're lonely and you haven't got as much friends, and you know, mental health takes it, you know, because you're not getting as much exercise. But at least my toes are fine.
Nice.
Yeah. Jenny, any Six Nations memories?
That's like any foot-related stories. No, pass. Six Nations was like same as these, we've been on in the end of a few defeats. Like it's always loved playing against England and Twickenham. Like playing there is something special, but one that sticks out for me was my first year starting in 2013. And they came to Ashburn, and we beat them. And it was our first time ever beating England, and we kept them at nil. So that was something that we were pretty proud of. So that would be, and then flip side, probably losing against in the World Cup semi-final was a bit of a punch. Like ups and downs.
Mm. We're all like, oh, I remember this one time we beat England. Maggie's like, whatever.
I was like, wait, let me just pick one of my best ones. No, I'm just joking. Do you know what? I have to say, because I didn't play in that game in 2013.
All right, so sticking out there. That was the reason. That was the reason.
But I remember watching it and just going, you guys were absolutely awesome and fully deserved it. And it did hurt to sort of not be part of that score because I picked up a knee injury. But then in 2014, winning the semi-final was quite special. But I think my best memory actually wasn't even us playing. It was probably in 2003 watching the standoff between England and Ireland, and Martin Johnson bringing out the England side and them standing on, I can't remember what side it was, and not wanting to move. And there was that stand down that O'Driscoll brought out, obviously the Ireland side. I think that moment sort of brought that whole tension between England and Ireland sort of summed it up, really. So that was kind of like a moment which I still look back at as thinking that's sort of rugby at its best.
Yeah, it was certainly a significant moment anyway. So we're talking Ireland, England, and Six Nations memories. And Maggie was just telling us how she's never got beaten by Ireland. Is that right?
That is correct, yeah.
That is correct.
Really?
I've never been beaten by Ireland, but Ireland have beaten England in 2013, and I was injured.
That's even better. Because they got beat without you.
Yeah, so. MVP.
So gutted, but at the same time.
Yes, exactly, yeah. The person who was playing your position then, how did they play?
Do you know, they played really good. I think it might be
Maggie.
It might, yeah, that's
really? Actually, yeah. Really?
Come on. Yeah. Yes, Maggie. That's the cocky English woman we're trying to bring out here.
We have arrogance, that's what we want. That's what I'm bringing to us.
Exactly. Maggie, you did a little bit of research on you. Is it true? On Wikipedia, it says you were born with a club foot.
That is totally true.
Is
yeah.
that true?
So I was born. So club foot is where like one of both your feet are turned all the way in. So my right foot was I was born with it turned all the way in, and I had an operation when I was young to correct it. And if you see me now run, it's straightened, but I have a limp.
Really?
Yeah. So in London, it looks quite cool actually. Everyone's got a limp, but when you're actually walking around rugby field, it looks a little bit odd. So I've got a real. The way I run is slightly, off-ish.
I just picture you kicking like a football and getting a really nice
actually,
curl on it.
You're right, you're right. It's
yeah.
great when the goal's right there, though, but
Can I spare? Yeah. Positives.
I always struggle to sort of keep myself straight. So I picked up quite a few injuries as a result. So
really?
My hamstring, back. But did you know that there's been quite a few like well-known athletes who've had it? So Steven Gerrard, football player, he had it, and a few others. And myself.
Yeah. So I also discovered that you're the greatest sportswoman in the world in 2014?
Wait, I was...
Were there a couple?
In 2011 I won like sports personality like Sunday Times of the Year, which just obviously just newspaper, but it was voted like the best female athletes in England at the time.
Yeah.
And I beat Jessica Ennis Hill.
Oh, yes.
That's a big scalp.
Take that, Jess.
I either get mistaken for looking like her or just saying I've beaten her. So that's kind of like nice to know that I've. That's why I wanted to retire because I've done it.
So that's a solid Wikipedia page.
Here, there's more.
It's me just adding to it. I know he's going to look at this, so I'm just going to practice.
She's studying an MBA. You are an MBE.
I'm MBE, yeah.
Yeah, and this is the bit that is like a bit Forrest Gump, you know. You tried to compete to represent GB at Rio for shot put, is that correct?
Yeah, that's like the sort of bit I tried to erase from my life, if I'm honest. I tried to get to the... So once I retired from rugby in 2014, I thought I'm going to try and get to Olympic Games, and I had 2 years to try and do it, but not in rugby, in shot put, and... kind of realised I wasn't good at it, you know. I did it for a year, and I used to do it before I came into rugby, so I was alright back then when I was like 13 years old. And then obviously a good few years have passed, and I pushed myself, but I'm too short. You sort of have to be in the 6 foot region.
Oh really?
And be a little bit bigger than what I am to sort of get the shot put as far.
Did you try and put on a bit of weight?
I did. I bulked up, but. Yeah, I wasn't going to get as close, really. And I enjoyed it, but it's not the same not having all your teammates around you.
Yeah.
And good banter. It's only just you and your coach. And there's only so much you can talk about the same thing.
Shot-put banter.
Shot-put banter is really boring. I mean, you think...
I can imagine.
Yeah. So I don't... Yeah, I did. It was good to give it a go. I tried to challenge myself, and then I realised it's not for me.
Yeah, wow. I'm interested to see what's next, to be honest.
What's next? Have you tried the shot put? Have you tried the shot put before?
Oh, when I was a kid, yeah. But
probably go down like a lead balloon now. Nailed it. Sorry, that was really bad. No, I would not go near the shot put. I have no biceps. Oh, yeah.
Have you ever tried to throw a hammer? That's the hardest, like, you know, a shot put on a chain.
Yeah.
Trying to throw it around.
Very,
the
very difficult.
And then get it between it. That is hard. That's crazy sport. But
so did you a lot of athletics when you were young then?
I did, yeah. It helped kind of build up my strength. And
yeah.
then I realised I can run as well. So then I crossed over to rugby.
Yeah.
I absolutely loved it.
Yeah. So Maggie's done all of that. What have you two done?
Nothing in comparison to that.
Nearly solved the Sudoku this morning.
Oh, so. Beginner, intermediate, or?
Why did you have to?
Sorry.
Beginner. Beginner. Nearly got the beginner.
That's fine.
I need to work on my Wikipedia page.
Yeah.
Zeebs.
Yes.
Are you friends with Neymar yet?
No. Unfortunately, it's still something I'm trying to do, trying to befriend him.
Who's the most famous person in Paris that you've hung out with?
Well, I haven't hung out with him, but I've bumped
I've texted
into him.
Kylian
Mbappe.
Oh.
Yeah, met him at a restaurant, and I think he kind of knows Teddy Thomas a little bit. So we were going out for dinner, and a few of the PSG lads were eating at a table next to us, and got to meet them, shake their hands, and he seemed pretty down to earth. And yeah, he was pretty big time.
And we introduced, I mean, do you follow football much?
Yeah.
Yeah, yep. So you're fully like...
Oh, fully aware that this kid is like going to be football for the next 10 years.
Yeah.
You know? So, he's only 19 or something. So 2 or 3 years, he'll be the new Messi, new Ronaldo. So
he was... And did he know who you were?
Yeah, seems racing 92. So yeah, no, not a clue. No. This fella. Oh, he had about. There was, I'd say, 5 or 6 of them, and they had 2 or 3 security guards with them. And the curtains were closed in the kind of area in the back of the restaurant. So we were in there, thanks to Teddy and 1 or 2 others. But everybody was just trying to get flashes at him. At him, you know.
Really.
It was mental. It was proper.
Even Teddy, though, were people even.
No,
he even be,
no,
really?
No.
It's Paris. You
see, yeah, it's Paris.
Yeah,
man.
Yeah.
It's,
down south, maybe.
Rugby is small in Paris. Yeah. You know, you're anonymous over there. But the football players, they live and breathe football. And especially after winning the World Cup, he was the number one star in the country. Oh, my goodness.
Do
every
football
kid.
Rugby cross, though? Do you guys, do you hang out or do you actually cross circles?
You'd cross circles. You'd come across a few of them, definitely, in a few restaurants and stuff around town or whatever. Juan Imhoff, the Argentinian winger, he's actually quite friendly with a few of the Argentinian soccer players with PSG, like Di Maria and Lo Celso. They went to school or something, I think, back in Argentina, so... Any tickets you want to go see PSG, or you need a jersey, or
yeah,
it's cool. It's cool.
Have you been along?
Not yet. No, I'm trying to go to the Man United game. That they're playing United soon, so that'll be a good watch.
Oh, nice one. So anyway, Jenny, you're nearly fit.
Nearly.
You're 6 weeks away, did you say?
Well, hopefully 6 weeks away from running. So I'm when like this gets a bit healed up. I can start on sled work and stuff again.
Yeah,
so,
you built your own sled.
I did. I built my own sled. Yeah, the gym that I'm in doesn't have a sled, so I built.
Have you seen this?
No.
She's got the. What is that?
It's a welder, and yeah, so they're just there was none in the gym set to build like an adjustable one that would fit in my car. Obviously, my dad helped quite a bit as well. But gave it a crack and it works. So my poor little brother is going to be standing on it to weight it down once I kind of build up a little bit. But
That's impressive. Just imagine just finishing off a bit of welding, just kick back with a cold one. It's like, nice one.
Yeah,
built a sled today.
Yeah, yeah.
Can't get an MBE for that though, can you? We should get started talking about a little bit of rugby.
Yeah,
football at some stage. I think the spread is like 9 points to Ireland. Are we, Maggie or either of the two of you? Are we getting carried away? Are we as good as we think we are, Maggie?
Maggie.
As good as we think
I was
we are.
Let you guys talk first and then just sort of summarise.
Yeah. I think we're very, very good I think this year might be a little bit different. Everybody's going to be out to get Ireland, you know. There's a lot of hype around this Irish team, a lot of talk leading into the World Cup, a lot of players playing really well too. So I think England, I think it'll be closer than 9 points. I'd say 2 or 3 in it. And either way, I don't know. I think England will be properly riled up. You see it already from the media, you know, they're really trying to...
Eddie Jones is
rattle.
Just
yeah, they're going overboard trying to rattle Ireland, like you know. So
and what's his name, the defence coach as well?
Mitchell said Ireland plays boring rugby. I mean
that's hilarious. I'm like I just flash back to that Tadhg Furlong pop to get like Aki away. I'm like that's not boring rugby. That's beautiful stuff. So yeah. It's just kind of laugh. And laugh it off.
I know. I just
trying to poke the bear.
I think even if Joe is sitting at home reading this, he will kind of laugh it off. But that is still annoying. He'll still get rattled by that.
Oh, 100%. Yeah. But the team won't. Definitely not. The boys are so well drilled. Joe has them so well drilled. I think. I think they're going to come out firing. But England, the one game that they're going to want to lay down a marker is this Irish game. I think it'll just set the tone for both teams for the rest of the tournament, and it's going to be really, really exciting. I have it 2 or 3 points. I don't know who's going to win.
Yeah.
I think it's going to be a low-scoring game. You know, I think last time England scored here in the Six Nations in 2011, so I don't think there'll be much tries happening. I think it's going to be very much a kicking game, and it will be a couple of points in it. England have their key guys back, you know, Billy Villapolo, Maka Villapolo, Joe Launchbury, they're all back from injury. There's been obviously a concern around Andy Farrell and his thumb, but he's back now. So I think England would perceive to be the underdogs, but I generally think they'll come out a physical contest, and John Mitchell obviously said the things that he has said. So they're trying to roll Ireland in some way, but I do think it's going to be a close game. I think Ireland are definitely the favourites, but it's going to come down to literally one or two kicks, I think, to decide the match.
Yeah, it's the physicality. England are 100% going to bring that physicality, and as you say, they're going to be hyped up. But that's not been enough the last couple of times. I think Ireland just... they outsmart them, or
they've
thought through what they're going to do. And
the aerial game
else.
As well.
Yeah.
They'll have something very, very up their sleeve as well. So,
like, I think as well, when you're coming up against a team and you know, you can have a look at that lineup and be like, okay, you have it. And Billy Vinopola is by no means a ball carrier. He's very good at that, but he's got so many other skills and assets that he can do. But if you're looking at like what the media are throwing around as potential stars, and Ben Teo is now out as well, like that's going to be, I think that changes up a bit. But if physicality is the big thing that you're bringing to the game, like as a player, I'd be like, happy days. That's kind of, it's nothing surprising, or I don't have to use my brain too much. It's kind of like, I will tackle what's in front of me.
Yeah, so okay, you're up for it. Well,
yeah.
Is Manu playing? Manu Tuilagi.
I suppose he's fit. I thought Ben Teo was fit, but maybe he's not. Be.
Yeah, I think it was just there a couple of hours earlier. They were like, he was, I think, gone.
Then
they were saying that Eddie Jones was like, oh, well, that's not our starting 10-12 of
the nation,
Farrell and Ford, which like I think Ford was. I think Farrell is definitely the stronger 10, and the team is better when he is in that fly half position.
Definitely.
Manu's fit, to my knowledge, so you add that, plus Joe fucking Singer's back from injury as well. So you've got, you know, what, a 19-stone, or 16-stone, sorry, guy on the wing. It's quite a physical side, but you're dead right. I mean, one thing that England is probably going to really try and push on is that defence, and over the autumn series, that first 3 steps out of the blocks, that's what they really focused on. But I do think Ireland are obviously they've got a really good kicking game, and England's got to play quite a smart game to ensure that they can close, you know, Murray down in particular, and obviously Sexton. Is Sexton fit? Is fully fit? He's not.
Talking like he was going to be fit anyway. Yeah. He hasn't played any rugby, I suppose, the last few weeks.
That's the thing, yeah, hopefully. He'll be, obviously, he is every game crucial for Ireland.
Oh, my God.
Connor, too. But, I think if Manu's fit and firing, that is a big, it's a big one-up, I think, for them. I rate him so highly.
Yeah.
So highly.
I'm concerned if we talk any more rugby here, Barry's going to fall out with me. we're going to have to leave it there. Yeah. Thanks so much for coming on.
Pleasure. Thanks for having us.
It's good having you.